Tabernacle Presbyterian Church presents Sunday with Tab. Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, located at 34th and Central in Indianapolis, welcomes you to Sunday with Tab. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, The Pitfalls of Piety. We'll also have music from Toria and Zach Sigifus. So join us now from the sanctuary of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church for Sunday with Tab.
Years ago, I tried my hand at archery. Both our children at this time learned different skills, including archery at different camps, and on parents' days, we were encouraged ourselves to give it a go. But time and time again, I missed the mark, that dark, centric circle, the coveted bullseye, and that's exactly how it seems to me sometimes as I walk this life day to day with Christ. I so often miss the mark. But then I remember whose bow I am holding and for which target I am aiming. And I already know that he has paid the price for all my errant arrows and misguided attempts and lovingly gives me back my quiver. Thank you, Lord. Please pray with me. Our prayer of confession is printed in the bulletin. Holy God, you have called us to walk in the light of your love and forgiveness. But we have chosen instead to live in the darkness of self-doubt and criticism. You have invited us to eat at your banquet table of grace and abundant life, but we have chosen to nibble at the table of foolish pride and empty promises. Forgive us, O Lord, and set us free to live in the fullness of your love and grace, that we might show your love to others. These and all things we pray together and in the silence of our hearts, in Jesus' name. Hear our assurance of pardon. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
We are continuing our study of the Sermon on the Mount. We come to Matthew chapter 6, picking up Jesus' teaching at the first verse. Let's listen again to God's word to us. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you would have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your alms may be seen and done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, get up, put oil in your head, and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege of the day, for this opportunity to sit beneath the teaching of your word, and pray now that we will hear this message which you have given to us with hearts open to hearing, receiving, believing it, and then living it in a way that brings honor and glory to you. For this is our prayer. This is our Alleluia, as we offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we come to this teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, and it has a feel of a turning point. There's something different about the way Jesus is teaching now. Having spoken up to this point about the what of the blessings of the Beatitude and the call to be salt and light and the reinterpretation he gives of the ancient law, recall, Jesus says, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." Jesus now turns his attention to how we are to be and do these things, and he does so in a most unconventional way, which should not at this point surprise us any longer. He takes on the three most familiar, most widely accepted practices of the faith. And not just this faith, not just Judaism, not just Christianity, but literally any of the major faith traditions, charity, prayer, the giving of fasting and other disciplines. And rather than promoting their goodness, as we might expect a religious leader to do, he poses their pitfalls. Now, don't get me wrong here, and please don't get Jesus wrong here. He isn't saying that we shouldn't be doing these time-honored, God-honoring practices, but he is challenging us to consider how we understand why we are doing what we are doing and what we hope to gain by doing them. In short, he's asking us to ask ourselves, what's my motivation here? Who is my audience as I do these things? Who am I trying to please? Who am I trying to impress? And he makes it very clear that if we are doing these things in order to gain the attention of anyone or anything other than God himself, then our Heavenly Father will not hear us, and we will have fallen into a pitfall of practicing our piety. So the opening verses of chapter 6 set the whole theme for the rest of the teaching today. And he says very plainly, beware of practicing your piety. Righteousness, your religion, your faith. Beware of practicing your faith before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Is it important that we do these things? Pray, give, serve? Of course, absolutely. Remember, Jesus said just a couple of verses ago, so let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. So of course we're to do these things. But the question we need to continually ask ourselves is, why are we doing these things? What are we hoping to gain out of doing these things? Who is my audience? What is my motivation? And he says, if your audience is simply those around you, so be it. That will be the only reward you will get. You will not get a reward from your Father in heaven. If you play to get the notice of others around you, so be it, but it won't be that you would be noticed then by your Heavenly Father. Most assuredly, a reward of recognition will be given for our good deeds, either by those around us who we seek to impress, or God. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, who am I trying to please when I do what I do? It's kind of a tightrope, I think, Jesus is asking us to walk here. On the one hand, we want to be seen as persons who love God and pray and give and serve, put our faith into practice. But on the other hand, if we do these things simply to be noticed and admired by others, we have suddenly fallen into the very pitfall of piety that Jesus is cautioning us about. It's a very subtle distinction going on here. So we must be constantly checking our motives as to why we do what we do. And so to illustrate this, Jesus begins by discussing the giving of alms. And for our benefit, we can extend that far beyond just the giving of financial resources to any act of charity, any act of service that we might offer. So think of the things that you do in this way for the goodness of others. Maybe it's tutoring a child, one of our neighborhood kids. Maybe it's working in the open-door soup kitchen, the cafe now. Maybe it's writing a note of encouragement to a friend. Maybe it's visiting somebody in a time of need. The list is endless, the things that we do as we put our faith into practice. So fill that practice in to Jesus' teaching when he says, so when you do that thing that you just thought of doing, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be praised by others. For truly I tell you, they have received their reward. Now, of course, we think to ourselves, well, I don't do that. But do we? When we kind of hope that someone else is going to catch us doing something good, something religious? Do we, when we expect someone to say, wow, you really are special the way you, and then you can fill in the blank of that thing that you do? If that's what we're hoping for or expecting, or if that's what we are disappointed when we don't have somebody recognize us doing those things, then we will have been playing to an audience of others and not of God. And believe me when I say that audience can be very fickle. So while we're on the topic of the acts of charity, another pitfall which Jesus addresses here is not merely that of seeking the approval of others, but even the self-admiration we have when we catch ourselves doing something good. Jesus, rather confusingly, I think, says, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Well, that hardly seems possible. But what he means is, don't become so enamored with your own goodness, the proverbial patting yourself on the back, that you start thinking, I'll bet God is really pleased to have me as his child. Well, of course he is, right? But it's not because of the good things that you do. But that's another topic for another day. Remember the pitfall that the Pharisee fell into when he prayed, Oh Lord, I give you thanks that I'm not like the sinner over there? Who was the one who walked home blessed that day? It was not the hypocritical righteous one. It was the humble, broken one. So Jesus very plainly says, when you give alms or when you do your acts of service and charity, and by saying it that way, he's assuming that we do those things. He says, do them in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He goes on to apply that same teaching to our practice of prayer. And again, is he commending us to pray? Absolutely. Is he cautioning us against making our practice of prayer a public display? Absolutely again. If we find ourselves wanting to pray in a way or in a place that we hope others will see us, others will hear us, others will admire us, we aren't really praying at all, or at least we're not praying to God. We're seeking the praise of others. Oh, isn't he a wonderful prayer? Oh, I wish I could pray like she prays. Do you know that she gets up at 5 o'clock every morning to pray? I know that because she told me she does, and that's why she looks tired all the time. So, friends, I think this caution may have been written for pastors, to be honest with you. This idea of being a professional prayer, a practitioner of all things religious, is surely a pitfall of practicing our piety. So what's the remedy here? Jesus says, so whenever you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Does that mean we have to have a room in our home that has a door and a lock on it? No, it doesn't. What it does mean is don't make a show of your time alone with God. And as a safeguard of that, it may make sense for you, and I know many people who do this, who do in fact have a particular place in their home. They put a chair there, a quiet place, a remote place, a place out of the way of other noise and distraction, the kind of place you would go when you want to have an intimate conversation with a friend. In this case, when they go to that place, it's in order to have an intimate, private conversation with their Heavenly Father. Jesus adds another helpful hint to this teaching when he says, and when you pray, you don't need to babble on like the Gentiles do, who think they'll be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. Why? Because your Heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask him. Isn't that beautiful? The thought that prayer for us doesn't need to be a data dump of all the stuff we need to tell God, to make him aware of what we're going through or what we need. Rather, we can think of prayer as being a time where we sit down with this one who knows us better than we know ourselves, who knows our needs better than we know our needs, and simply sharing that time together. St. Augustine put it this way, remove from prayer much speaking, but not much praying. That's good encouragement to us. You recognize the name Phil Donahue long before he became a famous television personality. He was a reporter for a local news station. In his biography, he tells the story that I believe captures the essence of what Jesus is teaching about in prayer here. He was covering a mining disaster. It was late at night in the middle of winter, and a group of rescuers were standing around a fire barrel trying to get warm when a local pastor came up to them and led them in prayer for the men that were trapped underground. Donahue recounts how beautiful, how moving this prayer was, and how perfectly it captured the essence of what was going on there. But his cameras froze, and he couldn't get it. So when he finally got his cameras fixed, he approached the pastor and said, "I thought your prayer was very moving, and it would summarize beautifully the mood here. Could you repeat it again so that I can film it for the evening news?" Well, surely the temptation must have been great for that local pastor to have his word shared with the whole nation. But instead, he answered very simply, "The ears that it was intended for have heard it, and there is no need to say it again." The pastor knew who his audience was. So when you pray, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus then closes his teaching by talking about fasting. And again, we could add in there any of the spiritual disciplines. So it doesn't need to be fasting. It could be anything that you do to enrich your spiritual lives. All good, all beneficial, right? Of course. But Jesus cautions us that there are pitfalls in each of these as well. Like he discussed when he was reinterpreting the giving of the alms, here Jesus reminds us, don't make a show of your spirituality. So when you fast or do whatever it is you do to practice your faith or enrich and deepen your faith, your walk with Christ, don't look dismal like the hypocrites do as they show others that they are fasting or being really spiritual. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you do your spiritual practice, do it in a way that allows you to appear normal. Contrast that to, say, then, holier than thou. So get up, wash your face, put oil in your hair, is the way normal would have looked to Jesus in his day. And we know what that means for us now. And so don't make a show of your religious devotion. Just do it. Not for anyone else to see you do it and admire you for it, but just for yourself, just for your relationship with God. And what I find so curious about this is when we practice our faith in this way, vitally, vibrantly, authentically, I am convinced that others see this in us. And often they'll ask, what is it about you that makes you different than others when times are tough or when people are mean or when things look hopeless? And that, I believe, is our light shining before others, which gives us the opportunity not to bask in their praise, but to give glory to our Father in heaven. Now, in all of this teaching today, you'll notice that I jumped over the Lord's Prayer. That was intentional. We need to talk more about the Lord's Prayer than we can do this morning. So we'll talk about the Lord's Prayer next week, and I hope you'll be with us. But I'll close by saying, Jesus is so aware of who we are. He knows us so well. He knows that it is part of our human nature to crave attention, that there's a natural instinct for us to want to be noticed, even in our spiritual lives, our practices of the faith. And he isn't trying to strip that from us. I don't believe at all. But he does want us to refocus, to redirect our desire in the right direction. Our human desire to be noticed by others can only be countered by a deeper desire within us to be noticed by God. So in order to avoid any of the pitfalls of piety, as you do what you do and deepen your relationship with God, keep your eyes, keep your heart focused in the right direction. And how do we do that? I believe it can be done as simply as this. Continue to ask yourself. We need to continue to ask ourselves, when we do these things, who is my audience? Whose attention am I trying to get? Whose admiration am I trying to earn? Whose well done am I hoping to hear? That's Jesus' teaching today. Whose well done? Who's your audience? Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks for the encouragement that you give to us, not just to do something, but how to do it. Thank you for the message that you've given us today to reflect on the how we are to practice our faith in a way that brings honor and glory to you, in a way that captures your attention, your heart, and not just for the benefit of ourselves or for others. Lord, speak to us, each of us. May we hear your word and so live it in a way that does indeed please you. Hear our prayer, we offer it in Jesus' name.
You're listening to Sunday with Tab, a production of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis. We hope you have found inspiration and comfort in today's program. There are many ways to enjoy today's message again. Subscribe to the Tab podcast on your favorite podcast app, or go to tabpres.org, tap on the graphic marked Sermons, and select the sermon you wish to hear. While there, you can also view the entire worship service. We invite you to join us for worship this morning at Tabernacle Presbyterian Church. We're located at the corner of 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis. At 8 a.m., we have a communion service in the chapel. And at 10 o'clock, a beautiful worship service in the sanctuary. The 10 o'clock service is also live streamed on our YouTube channel, Tab Indy. For all information on the services and streaming, go to tabpres.org. That's tabpres.org. Thanks for listening, and join us next week at the same time for Sunday with Tab.
Why is there church?
Pastor John Gable of Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis.
The word church conjures up many images, but at Tab we believe the church is called to demonstrate the values and practices of the kingdom of God. At Tab we envision a place where people grow strong in faith as they are equipped to serve others, where deep and loving relationships are created, where people work together to strengthen the community, advocate for justice, and promote God's peace and shalom. Oh, we're not there yet, but that is what we desire because we believe that's what God desires for the church, our community, and the world. Come see for yourself or find out more at tabpres.org.
Tabernacle Presbyterian Church, 34th Street and Central Avenue in Indianapolis, invites you to worship Sunday morning at 8 or 10 a.m. If you can't make it in person, tune in to Sunday with Tab, Sunday mornings at 6:30 on WIBC, or find us online at tabpres.org.